Progressive Radio News Hour with Stephen Ledman, Thursdays at 11 a.m. and weekends at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to the Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. I have scheduled Bob Chapman to be on the program. Regular listeners know him well. Bob is very reliable. He had an emergency situation come up yesterday. He will be back in April. He couldn't make it today, but luckily, Stephen Zellinger will join us. Stephen is the director of the American Monetary Institute. He's been on a couple of times before. Listeners may remember him. The AMI is a publicly supported organization. It's involved in conducting research on the nature of money, its role in controlling societies, and the importance of reforming a broken system. Do we ever have a broken system? Stephen is an expert on it. I do my share of writing on it as well. We need an entirely new system to replace the broken one we have now. And the longer it takes to do it, the more broken it gets, the more harm it causes, and so on and so forth. But I want to begin the program because I'm sure, unless anybody really went to bed early and slept in late, I'm sure all listeners know what happened in Wisconsin last night. Well, I call it what it is. It's a corporate coup d'etat. Republicans are the one who did it, but the corporations are the one who demanded it, and their Republican tools, Democrats are also their tools, we know that, they did it, and they simply rammed through, by illegitimate methods, a union-busting bill to strip away, above all the other rights that working people have in unions, collective bargaining. They stripped away collective bargaining rights, leaving a shred of them left, too little to matter, and literally busting unions in Wisconsin. Ohio did it a week or so ago. Republican Governor John Kasich, Republican Governor Scott Walker in Wisconsin. And I drafted an article this morning. I still have to go back and polish it up, maybe add, delete, whatever to it before it goes out tomorrow. But I began by quoting Ralph Nader. And Ralph Nader calls Washington, he could call every state now, corporate occupied territory. And in his words, every department agency controlled by the overwhelming presence of corporate lobbyists, and they're in the states and the cities, just like the federal government, corporate executives in high government positions, turning the government against its own people. They bought it. They own it. They run it. They hire, they don't elect, they hire the politicians to do what they want. Well, you know, you can't just do everything, snap your fingers, get it done. You need the right circumstances to do it. So they manipulated a financial economic crisis. So we have a bad situation, a crisis situation. And this gives them the pretext to do what they want, leaving out of the equation that working people didn't cause the crisis. Corporate bosses caused the crisis. Mainly the ones sitting in Wall Street. They engineered it. They caused it. They're responsible for it. And they want ordinary people to take the pain while they get richer than ever. That's the kind of system that flourishes at the national, state, local level, right here in my own city of Chicago. We elected an unindicted war criminal to be our next mayor. Well, I mentioned that in the past program, Rahm Emanuel. And I have to live here, and my guest lives in suburban Chicago. So he only observes it from the suburbs. But let me bring him on, Stephen. He is in motion right now on his cell phone. Stephen, I welcome you to the program.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, I can hear you fine.
Good.
You can hear me all right as well?
Yeah, just fine. No problem.
Oh, we did not have a chance to touch base before I got you on what specially is on your mind. But let me let you explain it to listeners.
Okay. Well, what is specially really on my mind in a minor way is what you use the term coup d'etat. And in fact, we have had a slow-moving coup d'etat over the last few decades here. And it has even, it began with some of the deregulation under Carter and under Reagan and the Bushes, and especially Clinton, where they removed the key provisions of the law that was put into effect during the Great Depression to stop another Great Depression.
Oh, you're talking about the Wagner Act? He got welfare reform passed. and NAFTA that murdered unions.
NAFTA was disastrous. And the deregulation of the savings and loan that had occurred under Reagan, and that led to the savings and loan crisis.
I know the one that you want. Stephen, I know the one that you wanted to mention.
A
bunch of them. He ended Glass-Steagall.
Yes, of course. That's it. Sorry, I'm driving here. And those provisions would have been sufficient to stop some of the worst things that happened in this current, I'll call it a depression. Graham Leach Bliley did that under Clinton. And then this wonderful woman, Brooksley Bourne, came forward and tried to get regulation. She foresaw the whole nature of the crisis and what could happen. And anyone who wants to understand how bad this system was has to watch The Warning, a Frontline documentary about her. We're trying to get her in to speak at our next conference in September in Chicago. We have a monetary reform conference at the end of every September, and we hope you'll come this time too. Well, you've been there. You've been there before.
Oh, I have. I was there about a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Now, they got Brooksley Bourne out of this position at the CFTC, Commodity Futures Trading Commission. And what did they do? They put in Graham's wife, believe it or not. And these instruments remained unregulated, and they remained outside of exchanges. And so we've had all the madness go on. But none of this could have happened. None of this could have happened except for the bank's privilege to create money. And that is where we come down like a sledgehammer on the current system. You cannot have the private creation of money by banks or others. And that always acts like a private taxation system on the rest of us who do not have this privilege to create money. Now, in the banking system, this is known by a technical term called fractional reserve banking. And don't worry if you don't understand that, people in the audience. It's not a term that is designed to be understood. It's designed to be misunderstood. But what it means is that our money system, the money power in our country, has been privatized. People think our government creates our money. Just a small part of it. Most of our money is created by the banking system when they make loans. Therefore, Stephen, if anyone is evaluating whether something works or not as monetary reform, that's what you have to look at. Does it stop the private, in our particular case, private banking creation of money? And the only two reforms that do that, there's one in England, and that's the one put forward by the great James Robertson, And his concept is that he's working with a group called Positive Money. They're doing very well. And in America, it's our American Monetary Act which does that. And this has been in development since 2004, actual specific development, the writing of it. My book is a forerunner to monetary reform, modern monetary reform in America. And the first 23 chapters, Stephen, give the case histories. Here's what happened, starting with Lycurgus of Sparta, 8th century B.C. Going forward, we rely a lot on Aristotle and so on. So the 23 chapters present the case studies, and then chapter 24 says, all right, that's what we learned from the study of history. Apply it to the present day, and what do you have to do to fix our system? And we come up with the three key elements of reform. And they are, one, you must nationalize the Federal Reserve System. Now, you could also say you incorporate it into the U.S. Treasury if you don't like the word nationalization. Now, that's not enough, and we know that by our historical experience when the Bank of England was nationalized by the British government after World War II. You have to, in addition to that, you have to stop the banks' privilege to create money when they make loans. And that's done really by changing the accounting rules. They're doing it more or less legally with very, very poor, I would say phony, and absolutely immoral accounting rules. And if anyone wants to embrace accounting as sacred, all they have to do is look what's happened in the last 3 years with these incredibly bad accounting systems that okayed everything. Now, those two things have to be done first, but if you just did those two things, you would most likely create a depression because you would have removed the ability of the banks to create money and you haven't replaced it. So, are you still there, Stephen?
Oh, I still am. I'm hanging on your every word.
Very good. So what has to happen for the thing to work is that the government has to start creating and spending new money into circulation, and you start with the $2.2 trillion that the engineers tell us you have to have over the next 5 years just for our infrastructure. You understand? Now, so those are the three elements that have to be in the act for it to work. Now, at that point, what I did, Stephen, I contacted a good friend of mine who'd been at the Treasury for 2 decades, and I said, Rick, take chapter 24 of my book, put it into beginning legislative language. And he did that for us. And today, 6 years later, 7 years later, and 14 versions later, we got the American Monetary Act, and I'm so happy to announce that on December 17th, Congressman Kucinich introduced what he called the NEED Act, National Employment Emergency Defense Act, and that act, it was H.R. 6550. It has all of the essential monetary reform provisions of our act. So this is something that we can all get behind and support. It's real reform. A congressman has put it in. It's time for Americans to start doing their part, darn it.
Stephen, there's no question that we need this. We need all the real reform that we can get. Whenever the Congress, as you know, talks about reform, they're really talking about deform, not reform. We need the real thing, and there's no question, as you point out, to me there are two core problems in the country. You name one. Money power in private hands, especially the monopolies that run Wall Street, and they steal as much as they can, taking it from ordinary working people, working households, to enrich themselves more and more and more. And the federal government literally gave them a franchise to do it, and it doesn't matter whether Republicans or Democrats run the government today. They are partnered in a criminal enterprise. You know, even before getting your bill passed, and you know that Ron Paul, who is not somebody I support, except on one issue. Let me just finish this thought. Ron Paul, a number of times, has introduced the Federal Reserve Abolition Act. No co-sponsors, and each time the bill died. So you have done a noble service, and Dennis Kucinich introducing it has done a noble service. But unfortunately, there are 534 other members of Congress that can vote against him, and my guess is every single one of them, except maybe Ron Paul, will vote no. So there'll be two yeas and all the rest no's. So where do we go? So my number one chore to be done is we need a clean sweep of all of the people in Congress who want to keep the present system in place, and we need real officials running this country that will enact responsible laws to give people rights as well as mega corporations, especially the Wall Street ones.
Yes. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, is that you, Stephen?
Yeah. Did I lose you?
You lost me for about 2 minutes.
Oh, and, my goodness.
My punchline was,
we need the right politicians to enact the right laws.
Well, and, you know what? We've got some, and the American people have to stop ignoring that.
But we don't have enough of them. We have a few, but we don't have enough of them.
You got one, and that's Kucinich. Start supporting him, damn it. And he's taken this courageous step to do this. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
They're trying to get rid of him. They're trying to get him out of office, you know? So people have to stop playing these silly games of just whining and whining about Wall Street and that and start acting. My goodness. Now, you can do that by supporting him, and you can do that by supporting the American Monetary Institute, because this is what we do. We do this. And you got to watch out for all the junk that's out there. There are the people getting the most attention, Stephen, are promoting junk. For example, that states go into banking. They've already misled lots of good people, and that is just, you know, it's silly. If you ask someone, what will that reform, they can't tell you because it doesn't reform anything.
Well, we do have a different point of view on that topic, I must say.
Well, you need to read our website at monetary.org. Read the outstanding research that's been done there on state banking and on that that terrible book, The Web of Debt. It's analyzed carefully there by Jamie Walton, who is a brilliant researcher. Now, if people want to fool themselves, I can't stop them. But it doesn't help things. It hurts things.
Well, you know as well as I do that the one state in the country that is more prosperous than any other is the only state that happens to have a state bank, and they have been prosperous for over 90 years.
That kind of simple-minded thinking, Stephen, doesn't work.
Prosperity is simple-minded?
No. That's a state with 600,000 people. That's a state that's oil rich.
Yeah, but
that's
their assets, wealthy Republicans.
Would their
assets reflect the population, Stephen? If they had California's population, they would have many more billions in assets than North Dakota.
Here's what you're overlooking. I mentioned at the beginning that the one key thing, you cannot allow private banks to create the money supply. What those people are promoting is to leave the money supply creation in the private bank's hands. They don't change that whatsoever.
They do it through fractional reserve banking.
State
banks not create money like the Fed, but they do it with the magic of fractional reserve banking.
They don't stop the banks from creating money. That's the key.
True.
So there is no reform there. It's a delusion. It's a diversion. It's important for your people to hear that from somebody who's done the work.
Well, Stephen, I will say this. I am 100% for whatever system will work best to help the most people in the most equitable way. If it's something that neither you and I have ever thought of, and if that turns out to be the best, then that is absolutely what I would support, and I'm sure you would too.
Stephen, we know from history what works and what doesn't work. This is not a brand new question. We've known not just for centuries, but for millennia. And to pretend that something is reform when it's just a diversion, that's a sin.
Well, Stephen, I absolutely say this categorically. You are an expert on this topic, and I am not. So that is why I listen to everything you have to say.
Read my book. It's called The Lost Science of Money, and it has enough of the answers to give you some certainty and some confidence that we know how to solve this problem. It's not it's not rocket science. It's pretty simple.
I agree. It is not rocket science.
We have to do it. Kucinich put the bill in already. It got into the Congress. My God, what more do people want? They want.
Well, anyway, this
is fun. I'm on my way to Washington now, by the way. New York first and then Washington next week. And I hope you will look at those materials and understand that reform is needed now, not games. Reform, real reform.
Oh, absolutely. And I would add one more thing, too.
Yeah, sure.
The time for talk is over. The time for protest is over. The time for mass, united, mobilized action is now. Nothing less. And I say it in the article I will write about the coup in Wisconsin
please.
For tomorrow. The talk doesn't mean anything. The storming the Capitol doesn't mean anything. Real serious hard action. I don't mean burning the damn place down. In Wisconsin, Stephen, my solution for mass action is a general strike, shutting the state down, shutting it down, and listing non-negotiable demands.
I like that idea. I think you're right on with something really good there. Really good, and that would be a good idea. Unfortunately, what we seem to have is a slow-moving coup d'etat, and it's reached now the Supreme Court with this really, really horrible decision allowing corporations to take over our electoral process.
Oh, yeah, of course they always
get it. We cannot let that stand. And what I think that calls for is the removal of several Supreme Court justices.
Oh, I think we need to get rid of them all.
No. I mean, some of them have lied in testimony, in their confirmation. There are real grounds for getting them off the court, and that should be done. And I think What's-His-Face is already feeling that pressure. The guy whose wife is active in politics, can't remember.
Clarence Thomas.
Yeah. You know, these are insults to our people, to our country. And the Bush appointees, these fellows are engaged in a coup d'etat.
Oh, they really are.
This is harming us. People are actually dying over this. If you're in the less affluent part of our country, you can't replace the tires on your car. You can't tell where the white line that hasn't been painted for 5 years is in the middle of the road when a truck's coming from the other direction and it's raining out. You know, people are dying thanks to these stupidities. And what do they propose? They propose austerity? We're facing treason here, Stephen.
Oh, we really are. I've written enough about the proposed austerity. Obama, the progressive Democrat, has literally stiff-armed the whole country outside of Wall Street and corporate boardrooms. That is our Democrat president. And, Stephen, I have said it, I have written it, I have proved it, that he is worse than George Bush.
Now, Stephen, you have to understand that the corruption is right at the heart of the nation, and that's in the money creation process.
Absolutely.
You understand? And you have to fix that. Otherwise, you're wasting people's time. You have to undo this privatized money system and stay away from other stuff that doesn't do that, but takes people's time and energy and diverts them into nonsense. Stephen, there's only one time we're going to get possible reform. That's during a crisis. the strategy being used, not by most of the people, but by the leaders of it, the strategy being used, divert their attention during the crisis. After that, nothing will, you know, and that's what we're in the process of happening. You see, you still have the banks in power. They're still paying out big bonuses.
Absolutely.
You don't want to waste people's time trying to do tiddlywinks with states going into banking, which is a crime, which should be defined as a crime, and you want to join the criminal element. Come on, Stephen. It's time for reform. It's time to stand up. It's time to make things happen. Americans, you've already had one congressman put this into a legislation and put it into the Congress. He's going to re-put it in soon. When that happens, come forward and support us.
Well, Stephen, I absolutely agree, and I'd like to see a lot more, too, including shutting down the damn big Wall Street banks because they are all insolvent.
It's
worse than we don't need them, Stephen. They are poison. They are killing us.
You're right.
I mean, we need to purge the country of this poison that is destroying the country. It's destroying the people in it. It's destroying the people on a global basis.
That's what I want to hear from you, Stephen.
I absolutely believe that. And as you say, the accounting system is corrupted. So they have, how many trillions of dollars in losses. They don't have to declare them because the accounting system has given them a pass.
What I got to tell you, and I keep coming back to this, that idiotic state banking nonsense is simply reinforcing that procedure. They're going along and accepting that, and they're even going further. They're putting the states into that. They'll make it impossible to reform. This is a serious thing. Do study it. Find out. And I'm happy to come on with you again on this anytime. And there is someone else you can interview. I'll get you names if you want, who have studied this, who have worked at this their whole lives. Not just after they stopped writing healthcare books. Come on, Steve. How is it that the progressives with the greatest ideas in the land, okay, the best ideas, how is it that they've been so miserable in getting anything done?
Well, we have not made progress in the last over three decades, Steve. We certainly agree on that as well.
We know.
I agree with you, since Jimmy Carter was the one who kick-started the process, the downhill process. I mean, Richard Nixon was a real progressive compared to everybody that came after him.
He was a hero compared to these guys. Anyway,
I mean, he was a strange character, but he actually did progressive things that helped people, and it's been all downhill since him. Gerald Ford, who replaced him, was a ninny. He didn't have the competence to sit on a condo board, let alone run. He was a male Sarah Palin.
Let me tell you how this happened. It's not just that the Democrats are getting money from the same people. That's a part of it. The real problem is that the Democrats, including most of the progressives, actually believe that crap. They believe the economic nonsense.
Well, they don't know economics, Stephen. They do not know economics. And if they studied it in college, they still don't know it because they don't teach it right
there. Then they really don't know it. Well, Stephen, can you let me go at this point?
Absolutely. We're at the end of the program, Stephen. So I'm going to let you concentrate on the road so you get there in one piece.
Thank you. Well, I'm just selling some silver coins right now.
Stephen, you pick the right time to send me an email about coming on because it really happens. But ironically, I had an open slot today, and you graciously filled in, so I thank you for that.
I thank you, Stephen. Anytime you want to interview me, just don't hesitate. Call.
Thank you, Stephen, so much.
All right.
Safe
good
trip.
Luck, Stephen. Let's do this. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right.
And I will just tell my listeners.
You're much more important than you know.
I do give it my all every day. I believe in the Woody Allen philosophy of life, that 80 or 90% of life is just showing up, and I absolutely show up every single day, and then some, and then some. Not bad at age 76, and I hope I'll do it at 86 and maybe 96. Well, dare I suggest any more than that? If I can keep this going for another couple of decades, oh, my goodness. Well, I'll certainly do my best. I have no idea what the rest of the country will do or what the outcome will be, but I damn well am not going to sit back on my can and do nothing, and I certainly hope listeners won't do it either. We all can do something. We don't all need to host radio programs or write, but we all can do something, and we all can spread the good word, and we can all alert people, family, friends, neighbors, about the danger that if we don't do something, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, and then there will be no America, and it's practically all gone now. We sure as heck have to do something to change that. Join us again on Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and we'll have more on all of these important topics, and then Sunday again at 1 p.m. Make it a regular habit. I do get passionate about these things. We all should.